Hello.
Hi.
Hello, we're starting high energy.
Oh, no, not the fake Minnesotan accent.
I lived for 2 years of my life in Minnesota.
When you were like an infant?
No, elementary, very formative years.
Okay.
And also family that's Minnesotan.
Ah, don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well.
Oh, what are we doing? Here we are.
That was your introduction?
Yep.
Okay.
It's good. Solid.
Okay. Well, welcome to Laser Graves. This is a podcast where we discuss movies and other things from the 80s. I'm one of your co-hosts, E.K. Wimmer.
I'm Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And this week we are discussing not part one, but part two, Ghoulies part two from 1987.
Or as they say in France, Ghoulies part deux.
So this will be a fun one to talk about. I haven't seen it in a long, long time. I don't know. Have you ever seen it?
I don't know. I don't think I had.
Okay.
I mean, maybe. It wasn't memorable, so eh.
Really? I liked it.
I mean, it's Ghoulies.
Before we jump in, you have any thrift store finds?
Mm. I was looking around at a thrift store, obviously, and I spotted a Belgian waffle maker.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Those can go two ways. So I had a waffle maker in another life, but it was old and it scared me. Because it always kind of like teetered on the brink of starting a fire. Got this guy, plugged it in, made the best Belgian waffles of your life. We're good to go.
What makes a waffle Belgian versus just a waffle?
I think regular waffles are the squares and the Belgian ones are in the circle.
That's it?
And I think they're thicker.
Okay.
The ones I made were ultra thick.
They were.
Thick.
All right, cool. Well, good find.
What was your find, Eric?
This time I had went to I'd mentioned it on an episode earlier. I had to go out of town to visit my sister and stop by this thrift store that we've discovered that is fully stocked on VHS.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. And I went in there and once again found some good ones. Not quite to the level of the first one, but found some good ones. The ones that I really were surprised to find were The Changeling, which is a kind of classic, and then Prophecy, which has such an amazing cover on it of this creature, like in a womb. It's like this monster.
The prophecy shall be fulfilled.
Oh, I wish Wishmaster was an 80s film.
I know.
Are you ready to discuss not part one, but part two?
Part two.
And just so we're clear, Ghoulies 1 did come out in the 80s. We just chose to do part 2 instead.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Well, you gave me a stack. Like, every week you come out with a stack of VHS.
And yeah, it's straight up stacked.
Nice stack. I don't know what that means. Okay. So you came out, set it on the table. I sorted through it. There were some goodies in there.
Oh, yeah. This was a good batch this week.
Yeah, usually I'm like instantly like four no's. I'm like, oh, okay, boring, 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 and yes.
It seemed, knowing your personality, you seem like somebody who would just be turned off by the name Ghoulies enough to not even want to watch it.
No, because I've seen Ghoulies.
Yeah, but I just thought of the other ones I handed you, this would have been the last in the batch, and it was the first, so it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, although it put me to sleep.
Well, that's not a surprise.
No, it really had nothing to do with the movie.
No.
Okay.
All right, well, let's get into it. 1987, directed by Albert Band, legendary Albert Band. His offspring are the Band brothers.
What?
Charles and Richard. So
he has children who are also named Band, and they're important?
Extremely important.
Oh,
come
you're
on,
looking
Ryan.
At me.
You know better than this. Nah. You're a horror fan. Uh-uh. Charles Band, who did like all of Full Moon Entertainment.
Right, right.
We wouldn't have any of it without him. Richard Band, who's like one of the greatest composers of cheesy horror. So,
yikes. I feel like I touched a nerve. You're not patient with that.
I felt like I was a little lazy right there. You questioning who the bands were.
So do you think that his sons call themselves the Band of Brothers?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
That's what the movie was actually originally about. Sam struggling to get movies mm-hmm. made. Okay, well, now that we've established you don't know who they are, even though like, you know all of their films very well.
I feel like you give me a lot of credit. You're like, you know this. And I'm like, sure. But usually I don't.
Okay.
Which is weird because we watch the same things and you retain all sorts of factual information. And I don't.
No, you usually retain really weird facts like shoulder pads or neon socks. Hmm? Really random things.
My brain is a catch-all for the things that other people miss.
That's right. Well, let's see what you caught during this episode.
Oh, not much.
So, you know, so it's a Band Brothers production. Well, surprisingly, Richard didn't score this. I thought he would have. But Charles did help produce his dad's film. But it's directed by Albert. And it stars Royal Dano as the old man, as Uncle Ned. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do recognize him, so that's good. You do. And I was wondering if when somebody like you, perhaps, get a job scoring a film, maybe from now on you should just go, score, when you get it.
I do.
And that's how I will know you got a new job.
Okay, you'll just hear me like from another room, and you'll be like, oh, he's got another film.
Yeah. Let's start that.
We'll start that, starting now.
Okay, so it opens up. There's a semi-truck.
Mm-hmm.
There's a full moon.
Oh, yeah.
That's apparently important only in the opening scene and never mentioned again.
That is true. Oh, but he gives it a cool name.
Yes, he said, the magician or magic moon.
Right.
So there's an uncle, a drunk uncle, who I immediately identified as the drunkle, and his nephew.
Yeah, and Royal Dano plays the drunkle.
Yes.
And horror fans will know him, well, from a few things. Heavy, heavy hitters. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yep.
Twin Peaks. But then the one for us that he's going to be forever immortalized as his greatest role is Gramps from House 2. So I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
We should backtrack real quick, though, because we got ahead of ourselves and discuss the previews on this VHS beforehand.
Yes.
This was really special. September 1988, Halloween release special for Vestron Video. It does the logo. It's really cool.
And it's a super deal of a VHS for $20.
They're $19.98 each.
That's insane. In the 80s?
No, they used to be like $80, $90 a piece.
What?
Well, you couldn't, like the average person couldn't buy them. It was dealers that bought them and then rented them.
Holy crap.
They didn't become like available to the public until much later.
Oh,
anyway, goodness. I mean like in the 80s. But
whatever.
So these are all, it's an ad for $19.98 each. So there's this thing called the Butcher's Dozen that's on there. That's what they're advertising. And it's basically every cool Vestron release from the 80s you could ever want on VHS. And they show the trailers for all of them. And I wrote them down because they were too cool for school.
Mm-hmm.
It went through The Unholy, An American Werewolf in London, Reanimator, Ghoulies, Rawhead Rex, Godzilla, Little Shop of Horrors, The Changeling, The Incubus, Last House on the Left, Dr. Fibes, Life Force, and From Beyond.
It's cool to see all the like little clips and realize we've seen almost all of them.
Yeah, pretty sure we've seen all of them.
I don't think I've seen Rodan.
Oh, yeah, maybe not. But yeah, I was like, dang, this is like all-star lineup, the Butcher's Dozen. So that was fun. So sorry to backtrack, but that was before the film even started. This was the ad from Vestron Video.
It was solid.
It was really cool. This is like what you want when you're about to watch a horror movie.
Yes.
So let's flashback forward. We've gone through. It's the opening. We also in the credits find out that the score is done by somebody named Fuzzy Morse. I didn't even look him up. But what a cool name.
What should we name our baby? Fuzzy.
Fuzzy, yeah. So, that's where we started. And so Royal Dano and his
nephew. So Drunkle and nephew, for whatever reason, are driving a semi-truck through the night. There's some talk of the truck overheating. And they're like on their CB radio, which is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated by CB radio culture in general. I'm terrified of it. It's like a scary, dark underworld, I presume.
I have one sitting over there.
I know you do.
We should hook it up.
Oh, what would your CB radio name be?
Something cool like...
Fuzzby.
Johnny Dump.
Fuzzby, over and out. Okay. So they're talking and the drunkle is drunk and looking at the sky while the nephew's dealing with reality and, like, the truck overheating. And the drunkle is like, oh, that's a special moon. And the nephew's like, well, I think it's always the same size. He's like, no, it's a magic moon.
A magic moon. Yes. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm. And so they decide they're going to pull over somewhere to, like, deal with the overheating truck. And then it flashes to an old guy who is running through the darkness with a bag that's, like, quivering and moving and grumbling.
Yeah, it's a priest running yes. through the darkness.
And the bag's like...
Yeah. Yes.
And he's running from three red hooded figures. Honestly, though, if three red hooded figures were chasing me, holy crap.
I, at first, thought they were, like... demon dwarfs from, like, Phantasm?
Yes, immediately thought Phantasm.
Yeah, I was like, are these the Phantasm dwarfs? And then I found out they were, like, normal-sized people.
Yep.
Did they change scale?
I don't know.
Like, did they
But morph? Yes, they did seem, like, Phantasm-esque.
Okay. So, when I noticed there's this priest running with a creature in a bag and throwing it into something, and there's these cloaked people running after him...
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, it probably wouldn't have hurt to watch part one first.
Nah.
But you know what?
Unnecessary. It's cool. This is the only point at which it matters. So the priest comes running. He runs into, like, a closed car repair shop, like a garage. And inside is a like, big metal tub. Or what are they called? Why am I blanking on the word?
Barrel?
Yes, barrel. A big metal barrel that is labeled extremely toxic.
Yeah, that's what it says, say that on the
How
side.
How badly do you want a barrel that says extremely toxic and, yeah, like, just put it in front of your front door? And then he tosses the bag into the extremely toxic barrel. And then one of a bat ghoulie makes its appearance and, like, swoops down and knocks the priest also into the extremely toxic barrel.
Oh, and there's such cool effects where his skeleton comes up, like, yeah, boiled, and it looks really cool.
It does look cool. It's, like, yeah, red and creepy. And then I, in my notes, wrote Magician Squared because it's the drunkle and his nephew. So from here on out, it's Magician Squared.
Oh.
They pull up outside of the garage with their truck, and they're fiddling with a truck. The ghoulies emerge unscathed from the extremely toxic barrel.
Oh, they do this really cool stop-motion walk, and then they just get into mischief. They're just all troublemakers.
Yeah, I can never decide. Like, obviously they're not good, but they're kind of like, eh.
I think they're just up for whatever. Like, they're just
kind of... And whatever being, like... real bad.
Yeah, they're just gonna party down. And I think they make all these funky sounds too, like cooing and cat sounds.
Like, well, there's meow, like the cat ghoulie.
Yes.
Like they look like certain animals. There's the rat ghoulie. There's the bat ghoulie.
There's the cat ghoulie.
And then there's the baby ghoulie. So they all sneak up while the truck is being fixed. They, at some point, the drunkle or the nephew, I don't know which, opens the back of the semi, and the ghoulies all, you know, scoot on in,
mm-hmm,
and make themselves at home, hitch a ride, and then the next day, obviously the semi truck has made it to its destination, where they're setting up a carnival. So the drunkle and the nephew are an act in the carnival. They have, like, a fun house, which inexplicably has stone floors.
Oh, it's a full home that they're shooting inside, yes, of, clearly.
Yes.
But it was supposed to be like their tractor trailer that they unfolded.
Yep.
Yeah, that
whatever.
That was funny. Also, there's a scene where the nephew's talking to his uncle,
mm-hmm,
trying to encourage him maybe or something, but he puts his hand on his knee to, like, you know, be, mm-hmm, like, yeah, uncle. And then he just never moves his hand. And the actor keeps rubbing, like, neurotically, his thigh. Mm. And I just could not stop staring and being like, is that guy going to take his hand off of Royal Dano's thigh? Because he just wouldn't take it off.
No.
And I didn't know if he even knew he was doing that.
I'm sure he didn't. Because, you know, he was, like, a young actor. This is his first gig. And he's like, just say your words. And then his whole body just got, like, shocked.
Yeah.
And he just rubbed a thigh.
So we're at the carnival. We meet all the carnival folk, the carnies.
What's his name?
Oh, he's got a
Niles?
Cool... No. He's got a cool name, like Professor something.
I think it's Niles, isn't it?
I don't know. I'll look it up while you're talking. He has got, talk about acting credits.
If you watch this movie, you'll go, oh, yeah, it's that guy, whatever.
He looks like the brother of, who is it, Hall or Oates, that has the fro with the mustache?
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks like him, right?
I want to say Hall.
I think it's Oates.
I don't know. They're just Hall and Oates.
You got a 50-50 chance of being right.
One of us is right.
No, but this guy has been, he was in Ewok, he was in Dungeon Master. Oh, we should do Dungeon Master.
Okay.
It's got Blackie Lawless in it. But Dungeon Master, Hard Rock Zombies, he was in Troll, he was in Willow, he was in Phantasm too. I mean, this guy has got like, and that was just scratching the surface.
He was in Phantasm.
I bet I know what he played in Phantasm too.
Okay. They are setting up, we're at the carnival, and then we meet Phil Hardin, who is auditing the company's assets. So he's like the suit of the movie who's here to like throw a wrench in their happy carnival life.
Yes.
And basically he says he's going to close all attractions that don't make money. So all these guys are suddenly really super stressed out because, you know, what if in Wisconsin or wherever they are, people don't want to see what they're doing at their carnival and they lose money, then they're going to be axed. This is where we also learn the name of the attraction that Drunkle is running. It's called Satan's Den.
No, that's a pretty cool attraction.
Yeah.
Oh, and what did you think that the guy's name was?
Neil?
You're close. Nigel. It's
Nigel.
Sir Nigel Pennyweight.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
That's okay.
I would wear that name proudly.
Pennyweight?
I am Sir Nigel Pennyweight.
It's a little strange because he's fully American, but he kind of sometimes tosses in a British-y accent that is unconvincing.
That's true.
And then he keeps talking about, so this is the little person who seems to work for Satan's Den also. He wears a robe and like runs around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't move the story along a whole bunch, but he keeps talking about how he's an actor and how he's like real into Shakespeare, I guess. So,
you know how tall he is in real life?
6'4".
3'6".
How tall are our children?
Over 4 feet.
One of them for sure.
Yeah.
The other one is a Pennyweight.
Yeah, Sir Nigel Pennyweight. That's so interesting.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. The guy's scheme, Drunkle, schemes on how they're going to keep and save Satan's Den. Because apparently they want to keep on trucking with Satan's Den.
We meet Nicole.
Yes.
Played by Carrie Remsen. I recognize. Did you recognize her?
No.
I recognize her.
She looks like she's from Charles in Charge.
Well, would you like to know what she's been in?
Charles in Charge!
Facts of Life, Family Ties, 21 Jump Street, Doogie Howser, 90210. But she does have a couple good credits to her name beyond this. Pumpkinhead, which was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I knew her from right away was Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. Another deuce.
Okay. And her name is what? Nicole?
Nicole.
It doesn't really matter. Was she dating Hardin?
Very important. No, she's just one of the carnies, and everybody has like a crush on her because she's part of the like Harlan.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought this was the woman looking for the cat.
No, it's, what are those girls called? The harem.
Yeah, they dance kind of, like, if
Arabian,
you want to call it that.
Yeah, it's dance.
Yes, it's just a bunch of white women pretending to be like from somewhere in the Middle East, some weird white interpretation.
Well, there's like some like guy who comes out with a whip and tells them to dance.
Oh, okay. We won't even. Let's just not. But yes, we meet her, and Drunk Uncle's nephew is interested, I guess, in her. Does it matter a whole lot to the storyline?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Also, Royal Dano, we find out, was a former magician who was an amazing magician, the master magician.
That's how we know that he is able to identify accurately a magic moon.
Right. Yeah, I want to, like, doon doon A magic moo.
Yeah.
So his nephew calls him the master, and then Royal Dano says, yeah, the master. Master can even make this bottle disappear, and then takes a drink of his bottle.
Oh, yeah. And he does.
Smooth.
He makes it disappear like a true magician.
I love Royal Dano. Do you remember in House 2? What does he say? I'm a 170-year-old fart. Yeah. I could be off on the number, but you get the idea.
You know, it'd be cool to see a buddy film with Royal Dano and the creepy old guy from Motel Hell.
Oh, yeah. Farmer Vincent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Royal Dano was the mayor in Twin Peaks,
mm-hmm.
and he and his brother fighting on Twin Peaks was very, very funny.
Yeah, but can you imagine a movie, like a buddy film with them, like Thelma and Louise-esque?
Yes.
Where at the end they hold hands and like ride off a cliff or something?
I can definitely imagine that. And that's... I can imagine they both would have been game if you would have given them money.
They both dead?
Oh, sure.
Ha.
They were dead before this film started.
They died in 1942. Okay. Then we meet a woman who is looking for her cat. There is a sense that she's been having some sort of a relationship with Phil Hardin.
Oh, wow. You really know the names.
I looked through my notes. And she goes in and is looking around Satan's den, like, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Well, she hears a...
And, yep, and then one of the cat ghoulie, not the rat ghoulie, not the bat ghoulie.
Which seriously sounds like this, a grown man making cat sounds.
Who did it? Who did it? There's some guy who's like, check it out. This is my voice.
It was probably that dude, Frank Weller, that does all the voices for like everything ever made, Scooby-Doo, like all that stuff.
Oh.
He's like a working man. I bet he was the voice of the cat on Ghoulies 2.
I hope so. Are you looking it up right now?
I'm so looking it up right now.
Okay, so while you look that up, I will explain that the cat meowing lures this woman in, and they all leap on her and obviously kill her. So this is where we learn that, you know, if we didn't watch Ghoulies 1, this is where we learn that all of the ghoulies are pretty nasty little creatures, but they have a good sense of humor about
it. They are. Also, is this when Royal Dano finds the ghoulies and thinks that he summoned them with his magic?
Yes. So the drunkle is practicing his own magic act. I guess his nephew's pep talk earlier inspired him after he made his bottle disappear. And he begins practicing his old magic act as the great Fausto, and he pretends at this point to conjure up demons, and then he says he has his own personal demons. He goes to pull a rabbit out of his hat, like you do after admitting you have personal demons, and he gets a ghoulie, and he thinks he magically conjured a bunch of demons through his initial incantation.
Was he wrong?
And then he says, yeah, because they showed up well before his incantation. Then he says he gets a little big for his britches, and he's like, you gotta do my bidding, and he's old and jazzed about conjuring demons. And then everyone thinks he's drunk because he comes out and he's like, I conjured some demons. I don't know, I'm just making up a random voice here, but he comes out and tells people he conjured demons, and they're like, sure, dude, you're drunk. And he is drunk, so, you know, don't tell people you conjured demons when you're drunk, because they'll think
come
you're
back
drunk
on you.
And then we go to scenes of the carnival. There are kids, and I call them punks in my notes. They're not punks, like...
They're like metalheads.
Kind of.
Well, they're blasting Wasp from a boombox.
Okay.
Oh, wait, what's it called that he keeps talking about? His tunes?
Yeah, his tunes.
My tunes, man. I gotta go get my tunes.
Why did they not make these guys the entire focus of this movie?
Yeah, because one of them we recognized right away.
Oh, instantly.
Yeah.
Eyebrows McGee from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Eyebrows McGee.
Yeah, he's got such memorable eyebrows. So if you've seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, he's the... vampire that plays b-ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you need to know.
He's a good actor. I like him. He's
funny. He's great. Yeah. His dad was a stuntman. I read up, weirdly enough, on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he in, like, Teen Wolf or something also, or no?
I don't think he was in Teen Wolf. He was in, Criminy. coming of age movie.
Freaks and Geeks?
No, the movie, but like Freaks and Geeks with Parker Posey.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. He was in Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. All right. All right.
You know, he was one of the guys who like hunted him down with the paddles.
Yeah. He was just one of the dudes.
That's right. That's where he's also from.
He hasn't acted since 2013.
Speaking of credits, mm-hmm. I looked up who did the voices. The one guy did all the Ghoulies voices, which talk about dramatic, dynamic range. Yeah. Because he could be like, or,
meow.
Or like, I'm good at Ghoulie voices, aren't I?
You are so good. I've His never name loved was you more.
Hal Rail.
Hoyt? Is that what you said?
He had tight pants. Dude, this guy has done everything. Let me tell you some of his stuff, because it's pretty amazing.
Lay it on me.
He has been the voice in Ewok Adventure, Punky Brewster, Snorks, A-Team.
The Snorks?
Yeah, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Glow Friends, remember that?
Was that the worm?
Yep, more Transformers. Then he did Ghoulies too. Real Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
He did Pup Names.
He was Slimer.
Nope, he wasn't. He was Gregor.
Oh.
For one episode. He did the animated Karate Kid, Bobby's World. I mean, come on.
The only thing I know about Bobby's World is that in third grade, my very first sleepover was at my friend Brianne's house. I didn't sleep. I gave up and called my mom in a panic. But I kept staring that whole night at a poster she had on her wall of Bobby's World.
Picking his nose.
And he said, I'm not picking my nose. I'm pointing at my brain.
I saw that poster too as a kid. I loved that poster.
I stared at it so much that one night. And I was just like, I can't do it.
Every time I think of Bobby's World, think of that poster.
That's funny. Well, my friend Brianne had it.
Yeah, well, cool.
So, where were we?
I have no clue. Oh, the metalheads.
Oh,
they all
yeah.
bust in. They're
they come to explore Satan's den.
Yeah.
And the rat Ghoulie pukes on a little boy, because there's also two kids, like buddies, that are also little jerks.
Oh, they're total buttholes.
So,
they're climbing on stuff.
The group of the, I don't know, the Toons kids, they're like teenagers played by young adults, and then two young boys all go into Satan's den. The rat Ghoulie pukes on the kid, and then...
Which I was very happy about. And you know why? This is going to sound really elitist of me, but a pet peeve of mine is when people pronounce guillotine, guillotine, and that little kid is like, oh, look, he's like climbing around on crap and getting into things he's not supposed to. He's like, look, it's a real guillotine. And then he gets puked on. I'm like, yeah, you should learn how to pronounce it.
Those L's are silent, you turd.
Yeah, it's a French
word. You deserve to be puked on by a rat, Ghoulie. Yeah. And his response to being thrown or puked on by a rat is, I think it's the other kid, somebody throws a throwing star at the Ghoulie. They have, little children have a throwing star because it's the 80s. I know you had a throwing star in the 80s.
I had so many throwing stars. I had a pouch that I used to carry them around in, and I would just randomly throw them at things to try and make them stick into tree stubs and everything.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I was all about that.
Then the Ghoulies attack the punks. So two of the older teens who are there are making out, and one of the rat Ghoulie or the rat Ghoulie pukes on them until they're stuck together. It's like a glue puke. We learned.
And this is where they're blasting on their tunes. Yes. They're blasting Wasp, and I was so excited.
And it's really weird when the teenagers are walking around, because it's like them walking on full stone floors through a castle, basically. Like. But it all fits into a semi, whatever.
It's supposed to be a semi, yeah.
The kids have gone off, gathered a group of people, and come back. So they've convinced an audience to return with them. And then the glued punks, or whatever they are, escape. They, run off.
Is this when one of the Ghoulies stabs a guy in the leg? Remember, he stabbed in the leg?
Oh, yeah, hold on. So there are two couples in the punk group, and then one dude who is wearing a fringe leather vest. He's like, whatever, you should listen to the dude with the tunes, because he's the leader of our pack. But he's wearing a fringed vest, and they ditch him. And he gets stabbed by a ghoulie. And then he's sawed in half and then mummified. And that's when the kids return with the audience.
I do like that all the torture devices are fully functional in this place. I know. They, like, the ghoulies use them.
Yes. And the people cheer on the ghoulies, and the ghoulies are like, this is great.
Well, because they think they're all puppets. Like, yes. And they animatronics are. Kind of thing. Yeah, they were right. They were ahead of the game.
So then, after the closing of the carnival, Mr. Hardin puts the moves on, I think her name's Miss LaFay, the girl that is in the harem or whatever.
Okay.
So he puts the moves on her by bringing up her weird background. Apparently she was a tightrope walker. And I don't think it matters. Does she walk a tightrope? I fell asleep at the end, so.
That plays a role in the very end.
Okay.
But one thing we didn't mention was when the crowd goes in and sees all the ghoulies mummifying somebody, They all start chanting rats. Do you remember that? Rats! 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 And then they start, cheering, and then the ghoulies high-five.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
It is cool.
It's
the beautiful. Cops come because one of the metalheads is
the
like...
The tunes guy.
Yeah, he is messing with us and we're going to sue him.
Yeah, because one friend is missing and two are glued together.
And then we go into a scene of Royal Dano inside of the castle / back of the trunk.
Yeah, he's been drunk and he sort of comes to...
And a ghoulie finds him and attacks him, and he fights them. Mm-hmm. And then he casts a spell, and he gets electrocuted.
Yeah, they attack him. And then the nephew and the cops find the drunkle dead. And Sir Nigel finds a watch or something, right? He finds something missing and then spots the ghoulies. So he realizes that the drunkle wasn't full of beans and... tries to sound the alarm.
Yeah. And then we get this huge unnecessary backstory from Nicole, one of the dancers.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody cares at all.
No, it doesn't matter.
Then the executive takes over the nephew's attraction, so Satan's Den.
Yep.
The executive's like, I have this now. And then the ghoulies attack Larry. It starts to pick up here pretty nicely. And then they go into the carnival. They bust out and they realize they should probably party because that's what ghoulies do best.
Yes.
Is get into mischief. And so there's this whole scene of their hijinks of them going around the carnival. One gets to go watch the ladies dance. Another climbs into a giant boxing glove and punches out a guy.
Yes.
There's chaos everywhere.
They're in bumper cars. People are fleeing.
Yeah, the ghoulies run amok.
Yes, that's what I have in my notes. The ghoulies run amok.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Word for word.
Like we're married.
What?
Oh, then in my notes, I wrote Mariah falls asleep.
Yeah, so this is where it goes downhill for me.
Which is funny because this is where it picked up.
I know. I've been waiting.
Like the ghoulies broke free.
It had nothing to do with ghoulies. I was just tired. That's all. I just was falling asleep, but you were like, don't fall asleep.
Yeah. And then, so we'll just move past because you were sleeping.
Whatever.
The executive goes into the bathroom.
He's wandering around and he locks himself in the bathroom.
And then we finally get the classic ghoulies toilet scene, which the ghoulies are known for. So
yeah.
Did you say you saw the ghoulies as a kid?
Not as a kid. No way.
Oh, really? I totally
did. No, I was super sheltered. I'd seen the cover, and that was it.
I was so scared to use public restrooms after seeing ghoulies, because I thought some creature was going to come through
the toilet. But your toilet was okay?
Yeah, I was a little scared of my toilet, too. Huh. I was particularly scared of outhouses for some reason.
It's because they're terrifying.
Yeah, well, two reasons. One, because of ghoulies. I always imagined there was going to be a creature that would come up and stab my butt or whatever. And then also, I always have, still to this day, a fear that there's like a python living down in there or something. And it's going to reach up and bite me.
I always thought that would be like the perfect place for a murderer to dispose of a body.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Except they have to empty it out,
Well, sure, but think about how messed up the DNA would be. Like, any genetic evidence. Because there'd be so many people's poop on it.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's all.
And ghoulies hanging out in there.
And so many ghoulies protecting that corpse.
So we get the toilet scene. Yeah, this definitely did a number on me, a number two on me and as a kid.
A number two on you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was definitely scared as a kid of ghoulies coming out of my toilet. And then the Sir Nigel, Larry, and Larry, just so we know, Larry's the nephew.
The nephew of the drunkle.
So Sir Nigel, Larry, and the girl, Nicole, try to do a spell.
Yes.
To stop the ghoulies.
From the uncle's notes.
And the flying ghoulie takes the book, and Nicole has to overcome her fear of heights.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and so this is the whole point of the backstory, which really did not need this. But okay.
We didn't need that much character development.
So they cast a spell, and then all of a sudden, a giant ghoulie appears. And this one, I stopped it, and I was like, you gotta wake up. There's a giant ghoulie right now.
And that was one of the ghoulie, like, babies.
Yeah, but he turns into a giant ghoulie and starts eating all the other ghoulies.
That's gross.
Goes around eating it. Also, he has nipples, I noticed.
Oh.
That was an interesting touch to the costume.
Did the other ghoulies not have nipples?
I did not notice, but I definitely noticed him on the giant ghoulie.
Let's stop and rewatch it.
Okay.
And then we'll find out.
And then Nicole says he's got a good appetite for demons. But how do we get rid of him? I think that's how she delivered the line.
That's awkward. Awkward delivery.
I was ad-libbing.
Emphasis on just random words.
And scene. So the giant ghoulie's attacking people. And then there is this scene where there is like a disguise of... There's a guy in a monkey suit walking around, Sir Nigel.
Oh, yes.
And
is it a monkey suit that he's wearing?
Oh, that's what they do. Okay, now
So it's being revealed to me either that you rely way too heavily on my notes or that you, too, were falling asleep.
No, it's that I don't make complete sentences when I take notes. I jot down keywords thinking that I'll remember.
You don't.
And then I don't. Okay, so I wrote disguise gas in monkey suit smoking blow up.
Whoa.
What that means is they create a disguise of gas inside of a fake monkey suit to blow up.
Yes. Okay. And my notes, for the record, it looks like somebody shot me with tranquilizers. I'm going to show them to you. Look at that.
Oh, it really
does. It becomes totally illegible.
Yeah.
I'm so very tired.
It goes back to hell, and then everything goes well.
The big ghoulie explodes, yeah.
Yep.
But then one escapes, right?
Yeah, and there's one giggles. Little ghoulie in a toilet.
And it's giggling.
Yeah.
Also, there was an alligator ghoulie. I kind of woke up out of my fog and saw an alligator ghoulie. Was it a dream?
I think it was.
No.
And then we close on that wasp song again that they were going to milk. They were going to milk it. It was very entertaining.
Don't be tired, but it's good.
It's funny.
It is. You don't even have to watch Ghoulies 1. Is there Ghoulies 3?
Yeah, I think Ghoulies 3 is when they go to college.
What?
Look
it up. You gotta look it up right now because I feel like I want to know how far this franchise goes. And is there an effort currently underway to, like, rehab?
Oh, look at this.
Bring it back.
Ghoulies 2. Guess what Ghoulies 3 is called?
Ghoulies Go to College.
Yes. I'm so happy I remembered that. And then there's a Ghoulies 4. And then there's a Ghoulies From Toilets to Terror, The Making of.
Oh. No thanks.
And then there's a Ghoulies 2, More Toilets, More Terror, The Making of. Ghoulies 2. I have seen Ghoulies Go to College, but I have not seen it in forever.
I feel like the word ghoulie has lost all meaning.
Ghoulie's a funny word.
I just think goulash.
Yeah. So there you go. There's Ghoulies 2. If you've
there
seen
you
it.
There you go.
I don't know why you wouldn't like this film, honestly. It's funny.
It's
entertaining.
I really tried to stay awake for it.
The puppets are funny. The cooing, all the noises.
Well, yeah. No, we can't end this way. We can't go out like this.
Oh, we can go out like this.
No.
So if you like what you hear, tell a friend.
No, you You make ghoulies noises, and then you say if you like what you hear.
That's how you get listeners. It's called baiting an audience.
No.
So,
oh my goodness.
You can find us on Spotify, podcast, Podbean, and iTunes, Apple iTunes.
Yep.
And all that kind of stuff.
Florgensburg.
Yep. On Instagram at Laser Graves. I'm at Instagram at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
You can find us there, follow us there, but no, it, you know, tell a friend. Keep your toilet lid closed.
What?